Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me on Target today. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it's my pleasure and my honor, you like that, to be with you every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and controversial and educational and all those good words for public service here in Western New York about health, education, welfare, crime in the street, and also we want to introduce you sometimes to people that have made a difference in your lives here in Western New York that you may know or have seen their name or heard them or even, you know, be familiar with them on some basis, but you might want to know more about them, about all they have contributed to Western New York, about all that they, the past, the history that they have with us here in Western New York. And they might be familiar names sometimes, but like I said, you don't really know a lot about somebody until you have a chance to talk to them and until they get grilled by me on Target. Why are you laughing? Like, he's laughing. Okay, so I'm really not grilling my guest, but because I don't have to, because he's a very familiar, a household name to all of us here in Western New York. And you might associate my guest with sports, and you might think, what the heck does she know about sports? The answer is nothing. But I do know, and I have been friends forever with Ed Kilgore. I gave away the secret, like, what's that? What's my name? Or what's my line when you try to guess who the person is? So you might have guessed already that we're going to be having a conversation today and on Target with Ed Kilgore, who has been a part of the media market one way or another here in Western New York for as long as I can remember, and hopefully as long as you are our guests know, our listeners can remember. And I'm sure, as I said, that one time or another you have seen or heard Ed on television, radio, or even in print. But he is here in real life, and I am so excited and I'm so pleased that you could be with me today. Thank you so much, Ed.
Well, thanks, Penny, for remembering that I'm still out there. I'm still in Buffalo.
Well, I not only do I remember, but I'm sure that our listeners remember, because you've had such an impact. You have had so many times in the history of Buffalo since you've been a part of it that have been like really, instrumental or no, not instrumental, not controversial, what? Important in Western New York, and not just sports, but other things as well. I wanted to ask, like, if you would just start out by telling our listeners how you started out here in Western New York.
Well, I was I was doing weekend sports in Houston, which was at that time. I graduated from the University of Missouri, then went to San Antonio, and was there about a year and a half or so, and then got the call to go to Houston, which at that time was the 14th market. Buffalo then was the 22nd market. So Houston now is...
Were you always doing sports? I just wanted to say,
When I started in San Antonio, my first job, I got my foot in the door by being a photographer, news reporter, and I would shoot film, and sometimes I even processed it and edited it, and would go out and cover shootings and stabbings and car wrecks and spot news, as they call it. San Antonio was a real... They used to refer to it as a blood and guts market, because if something came over the radio that there was a shooting or a car crash or something, then I was out the door. If I wasn't already cruising around with my scanners, and I had my trusty cameras and a sound camera and a Bell and Howell film camera that with a little Frezzy light. You put the battery over your shoulder if it's nighttime and spray it down.
People remember that. I wonder if people remember that. But
well, some of the people listening probably don't even know what film is. But
yeah, that's true. So then what?
Well, then I was fortunate because they gave me a chance to do the weekend sports in San Antonio because the sports guy left. And that's what I had my eye on anyway. And so I was terrible at first. They actually, I was on a weekend. They took me off, but they let me practice and get better at it. So they put me back on. And then it came pretty quickly. And then I started poking around in Houston because, I mean, they had the, you know, the Oilers then, the NFL, they had the, they didn't have hockey, but they had the Houston Rockets NBA team and the Houston Astros baseball team, which is still there. So that was a huge move for me. I was still single, went to Houston, a big market, and did the weekend sports at ABC, the Channel 13 there, KTRK, and that was Cap Cities. It was really a fun time. And then out of the blue, I got two job offers a day apart, one in Buffalo, one in Baltimore, to be the main guy. And I was the weekend guy, and the guy that was the sports director, Dan Lovett, told me he wasn't going to leave. So I didn't get the Baltimore job, and the Buffalo job, forgive me for saying this.
Yes.
I didn't want it at the time.
I won't tell anybody this.
No, I did. Yeah, don't let
tell
that
anybody.
Out.
Yeah.
Right. But it's funny though. I got on a plane in Houston and it was like, you know, 80 degrees. It was in November, early November.
No. I know where the story is going.
And remember back in that time, the early 70s, Buffalo had this tiny little junky looking airport.
Yes.
I mean, it was like this little building that looked like a shed almost.
Yes.
And Houston had the big intercontinental. And I remember, whoa, and it was snowing. But I found there was a charm about Buffalo because I was here a couple days. A couple people took me around. One of them was Ron Hunter, the legendary Ron Hunter, who eventually passed away but was quite a character. And they took me to like Mother's Bakery was one of the spots. And I don't know, there was something about Buffalo that suddenly appealed to me. And Channel 2 was just moving into a new station. They were on Barton Street in an old glove factory, but they were moving into this brand new studio. And and the money was good, you know, and the people in Houston, when I told them that I had an offer, they were kind of like, they didn't take it seriously. They thought, why would you want to leave Houston?
Yeah, why would you want to go? I don't want to say, they probably said, why Buffalo too?
Well, yeah, they did. They couldn't, and because of their apathy, you know, I was a young, single guy, adventurous soul, still am. And I thought, well, I'm going. I don't have to ask anybody for permission. So I said, okay, I'm coming. So Buffalo, here I go. And at that time, early 70s, remember, then Rich Stadium was just built. OJ was on, you know, that was before OJ became famous for other reasons. But it was a great, the Braves were going strong with Ernie D.
So
and
it was a
McAdoo
really big sports
center. And you had the French Connection with the hockey. So I arrived in Buffalo at a really great time. And I've never looked back. I mean, I, you know, met my wife here and have lived here ever since.
You know, I didn't ask you where you started out before. I mean, where you grew up, because you weren't from here.
No. Actually, I grew up in Oregon State, up in the northeast part of Oregon State. And
that's got to be just as cold as Buffalo.
Where we lived, it was very cold, but it didn't snow as much. It was a very arid. People think of Oregon as a lot of trees and mountains, which is true. But on the eastern part, it's a lot of desert, like 8 to 10 inches of rain a year. And so it was very dry, but it was cold. And I had a paper route, I remember, and I used to freeze. And, you know, if it got down to a certain point, my dad would take me in the car, but otherwise it was me and the bike.
You know how many people, how you said when I got off the plane and it was freezing cold and we had this dumpy little shed for an airport and everything. You know how many sports figures have said that same thing recently? I just heard, oh gosh, who's a football player that stayed here and that's doing so much in the community? And he told the same story. I think he came from Florida though. And he said when they told him he was traded to Buffalo, he said he got off and he said, how far, why don't we just go to New York City tonight for dinner or something
Well, you know what, one of the big shocks was when I got here, this is really funny, because here I was a college graduate, I did not know that Niagara Falls was practically a suburb. I remember when I first found that out, I thought, oh, this is a bonus. I mean, this is awesome. I wasn't quite sure that Buffalo was on the western part of the state. I knew it wasn't near the city, but I didn't know that it was near Niagara Falls and so close to Canada.
You're not alone, obviously.
You're right.
You're looking at somebody else who came from New York City and who thought it, I don't know, I thought it was part of Chicago. I was like, Buffalo.
I think they still think that in New York City.
I think they still do. You know that map where they have New York City, the five boroughs, New Jersey, and then Europe? Is the next the map. Let's talk about sports then from now on. I mean, let's talk about, so you stayed and you were here during a lot of iconic sports times. Like you just mentioned, when you started, it was, and you mentioned OJ, which made me think of a lot of sports events that you covered or times that were historic in sports history here.
Well, yeah. For instance, people remember Lou Sabin, and I did a show with Lou the year that he quit, and five games into the season. And I remember Ralph Wilson said about Lou, he said, he told the story that Lou walked in on a Friday. The Bills were playing the Colts on Sunday, and the Bills were 2-3, so that wasn't bad. They were off to, and Ralph tells the story. He said, Lou just walked into my office on a Friday, and he said, Ralph, I quit. And he said, well, you can't quit. We've got a game Sunday. What are you talking about? He says, I've lost the team. And Ralph said, where'd they go? but for a lot of reasons, Lou was just a magnificent guy to be around, but he was very principled, and everything to him was a line. It was black or white. There was no gray. And if Ralph or anybody, because he changed jobs every other week. Ralph, another story he told about Lou, he said he was hired as the athletic director in Cincinnati. So he said they had a parade. So they had this parade downtown for Lou, and he said when the parade stopped, he said Lou just kept on going. but it was interesting because Lou was had a fiery temper, and they lost a game in New Orleans. I remember, and we were sitting on the set, and he was diagramming the play where OJ got stopped for a no gain on a 4th-and-1 that decided the game. And he was so upset, he said, and OJ missed the hole. He said he missed the hole. And he threw his chalk at the chalkboard, and it splattered all over the place. But then when he quit, this was amazing. He called me, and he told me he was quitting and the whole thing. He said, do you still want me to do the show Sunday? Well, are you kidding? Yeah,
I guess so.
So he didn't really get into the specifics, but there were a lot of things, and Lou just if things weren't perfect, then he was gone, and that's why he was never on the Wall of Fame, because he actually quit on Ralph not once but twice, and Ralph never forgave him for that. So Ralph used to tell us, I was on the Wall of Fame committee, Ralph used to say to us, you know, Lou will get up there, but it's not going to be while I'm here. He'd say, you don't have long to wait, but Lou's not going up there while
that
I'm here.
That didn't turn out to be true, because fortunately
he had
a long life.
And Lou's up there now, and he deserves it, but I also understood where Ralph, because he, Lou literally left him holding the bag twice, and Ralph just, he could never get over that.
Is it ever going to be, the team ever going to be the same without Ralph?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, it's a whole new world right now. Ultimately, I work for Terry Pegula for 4 years in the Pegulas, in the oil and gas aspect of it after I left Channel 2. But I do know the Pegulers are very, very smart. They're very savvy. They've certainly got the financial wherewithal, and they want to succeed. When it was said that I want to win a Stanley Cup, and that's my purpose for being here, Terry believes that, and he still does. And he expected there to be rough times and dwindling attendance, but the actual philosophy before the Pegulas got here, and this is with Tom Golisano and the Reguses and on back to the Knoxes, was to stay in business. And that was their business model, was to, if we make the playoffs, great. But they wouldn't make decisions based on maybe having some downtime. You know, they call it the tank. Well, it's a little more than that. But what Terry saw was that we're going to have to get bad before we can get good. And that's true. But he didn't expect it would last this long. But ultimately, I think that both these teams will turn around and eventually win if people just are – they're very lucky that they came in here, because now there's no longer the question of, are the Bills going to move or are the Sabres going to move? They're going to be here, and probably with a new stadium, although that still has to be decided. But I think good times are coming, but I understand the criticism. I mean, at times they do things that make you scratch your head. What do they think? You know, you can't keep changing coaches and GMs every 2 years, and they know that. But hopefully they'll get it right this time.
I know, but you know, the question is, will they be able to keep the fan base and the fans patient?
Oh, yeah.
But I guess we in Buffalo know the answer that, because we're so loyal, it doesn't matter.
The Buffalo fan base is pretty unbelievable, because look at both these teams. Well, the Bills finally cracked. They made the playoffs a couple years ago, but the Sabres, they averaged just under 18,000 fans a game this year, and they were not good. They were a lot better
at the beginning,
a lot better than they were a year ago, which kind of gets lost because they missed the playoffs. But their television ratings were the second best in the league, even though the Sabres missed the playoffs and really were awful the last half of the season. But they've got some exciting young players. Fans know that, and they're. I think they're a lot closer to being good than a lot of people realize, and it could be just a year or two away.
The voice of experience and the voice of reason and optimism that you hear right now on Target with Penny Wolfgang is the one and only Ed Kilgore. So you heard it here first. You heard it from his mouth, right?
And Terry's not paying me anymore either. So
yeah,
I don't get a dime for this.
That makes a big difference. Tell me how things have changed. First of all, the media that you were, involved with since the times that we're talking about.
Penny,
and now.
It's unbelievable how much it's changed because of, first of all, social media, Twitter, all of the Facebook. Everybody now wants to break the story, to be first, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure on sports writers and sportscasters to get hits. Even the talk show people, they're measured by how many followers they have and how many hits they get, and so they therefore become more controversial than they used to have to be in the past. A lot of people always thought that I was too easy on the teams and the players, and think whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me.
And they thought of it as a criticism.
But I was a fan. Yeah. And so, but I would be critical when I had to be, but I didn't go out of my way to be controversial, because that's just not who I am. And if that's not tough enough, then fine. You know, that's why you have a choice on your dial. You can go watch somebody else. And so that never concerned me. But now, you notice there's a negativity in the media now that is partly fueled by the search for truth, or whatever you want to call it, but a lot of it is based on getting numbers and being known as being popular. And so that has changed the business a lot. The acrimony between athletes and owners now is the worst it's ever been, I think. I mean, when I used to do the Sabre games with Channel 2 years ago, Rick Martin and I would go hang out after games sometimes, you know. I mean, that would never happen now. The media, you know.
The media is the enemy.
The media is the enemy. And it's a shame, but because they have to turn around and bite the hand that feeds them a lot. And like, I really felt bad for, like, Jack Eichel, as an example. Here's this young 22-year-old guy who is, because he's captain, is put in the position of having to be interviewed after every game. And no matter what he would say, it didn't matter if he was tough on his other players while he's making excuses. If he's too tough on himself, then, which O'Reilly, that got him drummed out of here. So no answer that he would give would be acceptable. He was in a no-win situation, and then when he finally spoke out about it late in the year, he said, you know, I think the media here, their negativity hasn't helped. He didn't blame the media for their losing, but he said, it's tough. You know, you've got, and hey, they deserve the criticism. But for this young guy to say that, he's just being honest, and I don't fault him for that at all. He's a great player, and he's going to be a great player for a lot of years.
What are you telling? I know that you get asked to talk to, like, young people in the business or in college or even high school about careers, like, you know, in what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What are you telling them? What advice do you give them?
You know, there's a young guy here, and I'm going to say his name on the air, because he's the epitome of the young people that look at what he's doing. There's a young guy named Joe Krause, okay, and Joe went to North Tonawanda, I believe it was NT, and he wrote me a beautiful long letter 3 or 4 years ago about coming. He had established a radio network at his school, and he would give the sports and news every morning. In other words, he didn't wait for people to ask him to do things. He went out and did them, and now he's covering the Bisons for, I'm not quite sure. I know I keep up with him. We're on Facebook, and he keeps up to date with me, and I went on his show like real early in the morning one time at NT. But his attitude of just going out there and not being afraid to make a phone call or ask for something and showing initiative, he's going to be very successful no matter what he does. And I'd say anybody that if you want to talk to somebody, go talk to him. Although years back, I mean, my first job, I got it because I piled everything in my car and drove from Missouri all the way to San Antonio just for a job interview, and it worked out. But you can't be afraid to take chances and take rejection, because one of them is going to hit. You know, here's an analogy that a friend of mine uses. He says, you know, say you're looking for the Jack, Queen, or King of cards, and you've got 52 cards down there face down, but that's what you're looking for. Okay, if you turn over a 9, are you going to try to convince that 9 that they're what you want or waste time? No, just keep going till you turn over the king or the queen or the jack. And I thought that was great, because you're going to get a lot of sevens and aces and all these other cards. But just keep going until you get some positivity and some positive feedback, and then go for it.
You think that it's a valid criticism of the younger generation, millennials or whatever, X, whatever comes after, that they're not willing to take a chance, that they're not willing to work hard, that they expect to, you've heard all this criticism, they expect to start at the top, you know.
They do. Here's what I would say, though. It's a great opportunity for any young person, male or female, especially because back in the early days in San Antonio and Houston, there were no women on the air at all, hardly at all.
In sports in
news
anything,
too.
Really. Yeah.
In Houston, in the early 70s, there was a woman named Jessica Savage, who was a weekend anchor who became nationally famous.
Yes.
She was a weekend anchor at Channel 11, the CBS affiliate. She was the only female anchor on the air in Houston. Okay, so that shows you. But now, for a young person that has some drive and some spirit and shows some initiative as maybe an intern somewhere, boy, the canvas is blank for you, because so many, what you just said is true, that a lot of these young people come out and they want to immediately be on the air and have, you know, make big money and get lots of vacation time and all. They're worried about all the wrong things. You know, you've got to get your foot in the door and then prove yourself. And it's a great, because those people are coming out. They are. They're still coming out. And they're like Jonah Javad is a good example, you know, who went to Mizzou, and that's how I was able to get his tape in front of our news director. And Jonah is a great example of someone who jumped at the opportunity. Now he's in Dallas doing great, and he could be networked someday for all I know. But he's a wonderful example of what I'm talking about, of somebody that took the bull by the horns and just jumped at the chance.
Tell me what you want to – don't think I'm – we're being old about this, but tell me what you want to be remembered. What, you know, particularly that incident you covered or game you covered or event that you went to that stands out in your mind that was really special?
Oh, that's a you know what? Actually, funny you should, because I hadn't thought of that that way, but the thing I'm proudest of probably professionally was being able to, and this is, you know, when I was in my 60s, you know, not that long ago, but I organized a group to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa and we raised $40,000 for kids escaping drugs, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It's 19,340 feet, so any mountain in Colorado, they're about 14,000. So you're talking about you're talking about a mountain that is a mile higher, and it took us 6 days, and so that's the thing I'm the proudest of, because we, you know, three people in our party didn't make it because they got altitude sickness, and but the rest of us made it, and again, we raised some good money for a great charity, and that's probably what I'm. Because it was so hard to do, and we did it.
And you've done a lot for many, many community groups and charities in the community. That's why you're a household word. That's why I'm so excited that we had a chance to talk to Ed Kilgore today. And I didn't want to make it sound like this is the last time we're ever going to talk to you or anything like that, okay?
What's going to be on my tombstone?
No, he's coming. No.
I told you I was sick,
also, we've known each other a long time, so we're sort of like almost the same age, so I don't want to bring this up whatsoever. But thank you so much for joining us today. It was really great talking to you. And good luck. I know you have great future plans. So
I'm in a business now with a couple people that we're doing video for social media.
Speaking of social media, which is going
very well. So I can't just retire. Did some Uber driving even. A little bit.
I don't want you to tell anybody that, because everyone's going to be calling you and say,
I did. And I still, every now and then, I don't do it when the weather's bad or at night, but sometimes I jump because I've met some great, great people. It's been fun. So I'm really enjoying life.
Well, we think you're a great, great person, right, Jim? Thanks so much. Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Thanks.
And hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime in the future. Thanks for listening to On Target, everybody. Please have a good week. Join us again next week, same time, same station. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.